to me. So as I sing this song, I want you to think about your life.
Amen.
And how God have blessed you.
Mm-hmm.
We knew him.
And then we can look at after we found out who God is and what God is and how he has blessed us and how he has sent his son for us. We can think about all this and say, hallelujah, God has been good. He's been doing a work in us.
Hallelujah.
I can preach this morning because I look back and I think about it. I think about it. See, we don't know each other's story. But I'm going to tell you, my cousin is in the hospital, and they said that he didn't have but 24 hours to live. And that was a week ago. But I look back at when I was a baby, I had a germ, and the doctor said, if this baby lives, I want to see this baby. Well, this baby's 65 years old. This baby lives. It ain't over until God says it's over.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
It's good. Well, faith is what gives us that power. Brother David, we live by faith. We operate as Christians, we operate by faith.
Amen.
It's that's the way we get that power, that's the way we use that power. If I don't believe my words have an effect, I won't speak them. But if I believe they'll have an effect, I'll speak them. Amen?
Amen.
So, we need to have faith that we have that. So we're back with Ruth. Now Ruth, we got her to the threshing floor. We got her in the granary. We got her lying down there beside at the feet of Boaz. We got his feet uncovered. And we got him waking up, okay? So he hears her proposal of marriage. Basically, that's what it was, right? Spread your garment over me. I want you to marry me, okay? And so, whenever a guy proposes to someone, you know, he's always, what's the answer going to be? What's the answer going to be? Okay? What's the answer going to be? When I proposed to Muffin, I was sitting there going, what's the answer going to be? What's the answer going to be? Say something, you know? She's just sitting there. She just sat there and didn't say anything. I'm going, oh, I'm going crazy here. What's the answer?
So, finally, I went, and he said, say it.
I got to hear it. I surprised her with my proposal, I think. So.
Well, all he did was say, I have to ask you something. Will you marry me? That's right.
I had none of the romantic buildup that Ruth had. I mean, you know, none of this, you know, all this sort of thing. But anyway, I'm.
But it worked out. How many years?
Let's see. We married in 79. Yeah, we married in 79. So it's been a few.
You can't keep track.
Yeah, it changes every year. I don't know. It's just. But anyway, so Ruth is there, and she's having her big proposal thing, right? She's all dressed up, anointed, smelling good, got her hair fixed, all that kind of good stuff, I guess, whatever they did back then. So she's there, and he wakes up, and he says, who are you? I don't know, recognize you. Smell good. But, you know, who are you, and all that sort of thing. And so she says, spread your garment over. And that's kind of where we got to. So let's push on and see what else happened.
Because in the past he had seen her in the field looking rough and all tore, you know.
Yeah.
But now she's all dressed up and got it. She did what Naomi told her to do. Wash yourself, clean yourself, put you on your best garment. Put on a little smell good. You know? The boy said, hey, I don't recognize you. Who are you? I don't recognize you.
She said, I'm Ruth.
All right. Okay, so Ruth, chapter 3, verse, Okay, we'll start in verse 8, okay? And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid, and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your handmaid. Spread, therefore, your skirt over your handmaid, for you are a near kinsman." Okay? So, and then, see, we talked about that. Let's see where...
I wish you had your press, y'all, to show them how...
Yeah.
Last week he did an excellent job of showing us a Jewish wedding, what all it consists of. It's nothing like our wedding. Oh, my goodness.
He could use a...
It has a lot more meaning.
I've got a... Let's see here. Well, we're going to pick up... What's the next... Let's see. All right.
Mary, do you want us to do it with the tablecloth?
Oh, here we go.
With the tablecloth. It's
okay. Okay, so yes. Find where I left off here. Okay. All right, so. All right, I lost my notes, so I had to go back to the. Didn't print out my notes here, so. Somebody's. We're Ruth 3. All right, let's take off from there. And in verse 10, he says, "You are blessed by Yahweh," or by God, "my daughter. You have shown more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, because you didn't follow young men, whether poor or rich." So how does he receive her proposal? Well, first off, he tells her, something good. He can't tell her yes. All right? So he tells her something good. He doesn't come in and say, "Oh, I can't do that." You are blessed. You are blessed by God. He says, "I'm going to tell you something good. I'm going to let you down easy," sort of thing, and give you a hope. So he says, "I'm going to... you have shown more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning." Now, don't you have it a little bit wrong? Who showed kindness?
He did.
He showed kindness to her. But now he's telling her that she showed kindness.
Yeah, to want somebody like him. I mean, of course, boys do have money, but he's a little old,
Yeah.
She's a young girl. She could have got any young man,
There you go.
Because she wasn't bad looking. But, Dave, you are being very kind to choose me,
He's honored.
Honored.
We don't always know how we treat people, how it's received. Okay? So, she didn't realize that how she... come into his field and gleaning and staying in his field, what that did to him. He said, "You showed a kindness at the beginning by keeping coming to my field, but at the latter end here, you showed even more kindness because you come to me." So he was really impressed with her, her kindness toward him. She had no idea that he was blessing her, she was blessing him by coming and gleaning in his field. She had no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't think it, would you? But that's the way he received it. That's the way he received it. So we don't know how we are affecting people.
That's true.
And we may do something, we think, well, that's not anything, but it was to them.
We just think it's normal.
Because we don't know what they're thinking.
We just think it's normal.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know what they're thinking. We don't know where they are. And Boaz is feeling unwanted because he's an old guy. Where am I going to find a bride? Nobody's going to want to marry an old man, right? And he's thinking that, and yet she keeps coming back and keeps coming back, and it blesses him. So, I mean, we just don't know when we do things,
And you know, God is working behind the scenes.
Exactly, exactly. He's come on, come on.
And that's where we miss it at, because we can't see behind the scenes. We're just looking at what we see.
Yes.
But we got to know God is a faithful. He's a good God. He works behind the scene where we're not even seeing him, where he's working. Because you know who Boaz's mama was. So, you know, he wasn't worried about marrying a foreigner. It didn't affect him at all. Because his mom was Rahab.
Yeah.
Rahab the harlot.
That's right.
That's Boaz's mom.
That's right.
So he was used to them Gentiles.
Yeah.
When he had already seen his mama, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So God worked behind the scene of that. Boaz, and he didn't reject her at all. He like, hey, you kind of look like my mama. She was a Gentile, you know. And Ruth reminded him, you know, even in the second chapter, she reminded him, I'm a foreigner. You know, I'm not like your other, you know, I'm foreigner. I'm from Boaz. Say, I know, you know, talk around town has been that you've been a very good person and all. And I believe you want to tell her, yeah, my mom was a Gentile woman too, you know. Uh-huh. And she was what they call Rahab the harlot.
Uh-huh.
Had such a good son, Boaz.
You remind me of the scripture say, I am God, I change is not. I neither sleep or slumber. When we think of that scripture and then seeing how this is played out with Ruth and everything, you know, he's the same. He changes not. He said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he does that for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reminded of that when we hear bring this
Yeah.
word.
Here.
Mary?
Yeah.
Help me figure. I thought there was a couple generations between Rahab and Ruth, or Boaz. I thought there was a couple generations between Rahab and Boaz.
Well, Rahab was Boaz's mama.
I respect what you say.
Down the line, it.
Yeah, well, no. where can I find that information?
Yeah.
It's in the Word. I give it to you.
Yeah.
I give it to you.
Okay. Thank you.
I sure will. I give it to you.
I'm studying
it tells you in the genealogy, huh?
I'm working on a skit with another lady.
Okay.
For Ruth and Rahab, and we're confused.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's only four ladies that got into the genealogy of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That was Rahab, Ruth here, Tamar, and one other. It was only four that got in that genealogy.
Okay. So now, Boaz showed some insight here.
Yeah.
He showed some understanding by that last phrase. He says, "You show more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, because you didn't follow young men." Whether poor or rich. Now, he shows an understanding of how young women think.
Uh-huh.
He says a young woman would rather have a young guy, whether he's rich or poor.
Mm-hmm.
They want a young guy, you know. Yeah. They don't care whether he's rich or poor so much. You know, that's a big concern, you know, big thing for them. They want a young guy because they're young, right? And so, you know, the thing that he's faced with is something different than what Ruth is faced with. Yeah, he said, I got the money, but I don't have the youth. There's nothing I can do about that, you know. And nothing I can do about that. I got the money, but I don't have the youth. But you have chosen me. This really blesses me. This really blesses me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he goes and he says, now my daughter, and when he says my daughter, obviously he's not talking about his daughter, okay? This is, you know, listen, son, you know, it's like you would say to someone that you're, you see it in a fond way, you know.
Yeah.
He says, now, my daughter, don't be afraid. You know, don't be fearful. Okay? I will do to you all that you say, for all the city of my people knows that you are a worthy woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You're a woman of virtue. All right? You're a virtuous woman, I think the King James says. He says, now, it is true. See, you're telling the truth. All right, he's building her up. He keeps building her up. He doesn't want to let her down it is true that I'm a near kinsman. However, but, okay, but there is a kinsman nearer than I. And we will stop there and pick up next time. Leave you with a cliffhanger, okay? But, okay.
Even at the end of Ruth, it tells you about Solomon was begat Boaz. And Solomon married Rahab. Let me go back to the old, to the, a little further to show you where he married Rahab. Rahab the harlot. But you can look in Ruth 4 and 18, down at the bottom. The 18th verse tells you that Solomon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. Let me look that up. Solomon, David. You can go ahead, change. I get that verse 4.
Thank you.
But you can change. Apostle, you can go ahead and get started.